My task today in these 30 minutes will be dealing with the COPD risk factors other than cigarettes. Sorry, I have to speak in English. I don't speak French in this Francophone Congress. I'm sorry for that. I hope it won't be a problem for you. This is your city. This is Beirut, which I admire a lot. And I'm coming from a very similar city, Izmir, Smyrna, on the Aegean coast of Turkey. I think we have so much in common, and we will improve our collaborations in the future. So my outline will be, first of all, I will be dealing with the social determinants of health in respiratory disease and COPD. Why am I doing this? Because the risk factors, other than cigarette smoking, are very similar with the social determinants of health. And then I will check a little bit the data we have on the risk factors rather than cigarettes. And I'm going to leave you and myself with some questions to answer in near future of COPD treatment. So as the WHO definition, with the WHO definition, we can say that health equity is the absence of socially unjust or unfair health disparities in health status. So why am I talking on this? Because I know that health disparities have a great impact on the improvement of COPD. So we have to overcome these health disparities around the world. You can see here that the impact of the social determinants of health equity in many studies here, and it has a great contribution on the main drivers of the health status. You can see here socioeconomic situation and some environmental conditions in which we are dealing with COPD. So when someone has a deprivation, the life expectancy and the disability-free life expectancy is getting lower. And when it is most deprived, it's the lower life expectancy. For the least deprived, it is the highest life expectancy. So what are the determinants of social determinants of health? Duty, of course, occupation, level of income, social gender, social welfare, social support systems, health system, education, and even transportation and sheltering. And what are the social determinants in COPD? In respiratory disease, rather than tobacco use, you can see here that indoor and outdoor air pollution, environmental and occupational exposure, vaccination, nutrition, birth weight, which is very linked to COPD, maternal smoking, physical activity, gender and HIV. You can see that these are the non-tobacco risk factors and these are the social determinants in the respiratory disease. This is the reason why I touched it in the beginning of my speech. This is the ERS and ATS task force telling us that the hundreds of millions of people suffer from respiratory disease and 4 million people die prematurely from respiratory disease each year. But the situation is not hopeless because we know the risk factors and these risk factors are preventable. In this task force of American Thoracic Society and European Respiratory Society, we can say that the disparities are more common in respiratory system than any other organ. And it occurs disproportionately in ethnic minorities with lower socioeconomic status. And the lowest social groups are 14 times more likely to have respiratory disease than the highest ones. So the first report published was in 1963 about the risk factors in COPD rather than cigarette smoking. And there has been an overwhelming interest in smoking as a major risk factor, but we know that there are more risk factors other than cigarette smoking in COPD. You can see here that with the countries all around the world, 25 or 45% of patients with COPD have never smoked. More than half of the population were due to non-smoking causes. So we have to deal with the non-smoking causes also. So I thank Professor Wade for giving me this opportunity to share the non-tobacco risk factors in COPD. What are they? The indoor air pollution, outdoor air pollution, occupational exposures, pulmonary tuberculosis, which I know it were very common in our region, chronic asthma, low respiratory tract infections during childhood, we have very good data about it, poor socioeconomic status, low educational attainment, and poor nutrition. Now I'm going to touch a little bit on each of these risk factors. Do we have any data? I'm going to share with you. So with the genes, there is a gene and environment interaction between COPD in terms of cigarette smoking, because we know that not all the people smoking develop COPD, and some of them do not develop smoking. So there should be a genetic thing. So the best documented report is in the deficiency of alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, but that's a small group of population. Some studies show some genetic link in the smoking siblings of COPD parents, and the gene for alpha-nicotinic acetylcholine receptor has been studied a lot, but this interaction in non-smoking subjects are not so clear yet. So when we come to age and gender, we know that it has been speculated that aging leads to COPD, or in the aged population, we can see the age lung, the images of the age lung. Does healthy aging lead to COPD? We do not have any answer for that. But for the gender effect, in the past years, men has a dominance than women. But we can see now from the data, especially from the developed countries, they are equal now. And women are more susceptible to tobacco smoke. So the gender makes a difference. And any risk factor, anything happened during the processes to gestation, birth, childhood and adolescent exposure have an impact on the development of the lung and the development of chronic airway diseases. We have very good data on that. I would like to share one of this data with you. You can see here, this is a meta-analysis, and you can see that the correlation of birth weight between the FEV1 in the adult period. So there is a change per 1 kilogram of change in birth weight. So the lower birth weight is a major risk factor for lower FEV weight in the adult. So we have very good data about that. There is a term, there is a definition like the childhood disadvantage factors. What are they? It's a very good study from Swan, published in 2010, that he says that these childhood risk factors, disadvantage factors, are very important, as well as heavy smoking, in predicting lung function in early adult life. What are they? Maternal asthma, paternal asthma, childhood asthma, maternal smoking, and childhood respiratory infections, they were significantly associated with lower FEV1. And among the people who have these risk factors, 40% of them had one or more these childhood disadvantage factors. So the childhood is very important for a person developing COPD in adult age. What are the other risk factors? Indoor air pollution, biomass is a problem in developing countries. You can imagine that 3 billion people, half of the worldwide population, are exposed to smoke from biomass fuel. When you compare this to tobacco, tobacco exposure was 1 billion. So we can say that biomass is the biggest risk factor for COPD rather than tobacco smoke. You can see here that 4.3 million people die each year from exposure to indoor air pollution, and the 50% of the premature deaths among children are caused by indoor air pollution. This is a very important issue we can overcome. You know that worldwide, 50% of the households and 90% of the rural households use biomass fuel. So about 50% of deaths from COPD in developing countries are attributable to biomass smoke. I would like to share you two studies from Turkey, from my country. We are using in the rural areas biomass. This is a case control study around 600 never smoking women in Turkey. You can see the prevalence of COPD as 23%. And for those women, probability of COPD was twice higher, as high if they cooked with biomass fuel than with the petroleum gas, which is very similar from a study from China. And another Turkish study reported that odds of COPD were increased by 6.6 times for women exposed for biomass smoke. That is a great problem. And of course, babies who are on the back of their mothers are in danger for developing COPD, because in developing countries, you know that women are traditionally responsible for cooking and they're carrying their babies on their back. So that baby exposed to smoke, biomass smoke, 3 or 7 hours per day for many years. This is the result of a Guatemalan study showed that the babies born from mothers exposed to biomass smoke had birth weights 60 or 70 grams lower than the ones who are not exposed. When you compare this to tobacco exposure, it is 30 or 40 grams, so it's twice with the biomass. So low birth weight is an independent risk factor for COPD that is associated with poor lung growth. And for the indoor air pollution, with these children are exposed to lower respiratory tract infections, and which is the very important cause of death in developing countries. If these children do not die, if they survive, they will have unhealthy lungs that might predispose them to COPD in later life. So the poor socioeconomic status and poor nutrition might also contribute to the risk factors of COPD. When we come to the outdoor air pollution, it is a relatively small role comparing smoking and the indoor air pollution. But we know that in this city also there is a traffic mess. In my country also, in Istanbul, we have a traffic jam. And the fossil fuel combustion is a risk factor. And there are studies showing the decrements in respiratory function. I would like to share one of these studies with Teresa To from Canada. You know that you can measure air pollution as the particulate matter, PM2.5. And she has followed the impact of this PM2.5 for years, around 30,000 subjects. And she concluded that significant elevated prevalent rate ratios per unit increase per PM2.5 in 9 or out of 10 chronic diseases. This is an important data. And we have occupational exposures in developing countries, in unhealthy working conditions. So you can imagine that COPD attributable to work is almost 20%. It is underappreciated. We have organic and inorganic dust, chemical agents, fumes, many occupational exposures like crop farming, animal farming, dust exposures, chemical exposures, and pollutant exposures, many occupational exposures. And what about chronic asthma? We have a data from the Tussin study. Can you imagine that adults with asthma have 12-fold higher risk? This ratio is adjusted after smoking. And from the European Community Respiratory Health Survey result, there is an interesting data that bronchial hyperresponsiveness is a second risk factor after smoking with a 15% ratio. So asthma is a risk factor for developing COPD, is a very well risk factor. And the infections, as I have mentioned before, severe childhood respiratory infections, reduced lung function in the adult time. And of course, chronic bronchitis lead to COPD if they were not treated well. Another aspect is pulmonary tuberculosis, which is still a problem in my country. It is associated with the chronic airflow obstruction. I would like to share you the prevalence of airflow obstruction varies from 28 to 68 of the patient in pulmonary tuberculosis. So that's an issue in developing countries also for COPD. And for socioeconomic status, poverty is a risk factor. Exposure to outdoor and indoor pollution, crowding, poor nutrition, and infections are important in the socioeconomic status. Is there a different phenotype? This question has been asked many times, but we have very few studies that investigate the non-smoking phenotype of COPD or making comparisons with the smoking type of COPD. I think further research is needed to elucidate that if we have a different phenotype in smokers, in non-smokers of COPD. I would like to share you in my couple of last slides some data regarding the predicting risk of COPD in primary care. You can see here that smoking is a real risk factor, which is the current smoking. The odds ratio is 11.7. And asthma is a risk factor. And lower respiratory tract infection. If it is zero, it's one. If it is one, one infection, it is 2.58. More than one, you can see the odds ratio is increasing. So it is smoking, asthma, and lower respiratory tract infection are important risk factors for COPD. Another study from Korea, almost 25,000 participants in the Korean cohort, and 3,400 were never smokers. And COPD patients accounted about 7.6% of these never smokers. What were the risk factors? Low education status, manual labor, a history of tuberculosis, bronchiectasis, as well as male sex, advanced age, and being underweight were risk factors for COPD in Korean never smokers. So my questions, I'm going to leave with you and myself, and the scientists, we have to answer in near future. So what is the true burden of non-smoking COPD in different countries? We do not have enough data, you know, because all the clinical trials of COPD includes the patients who are smokers. So does non-smoking COPD have the same prognosis with the smoking COPD and the same and radiological features and manifest the same comorbidities as COPD induced by smoking? We have to find the answer. So what is the airway cellular and mediator profile of COPD in never smokers? And is it different from COPD induced by smoking? Should the patients with non-smoking COPD receive the same treatment as the ones who have the history of tobacco smoking? As I have mentioned, almost all large trials of pharmacotherapy trials for COPD have excluded the patients who have no history of tobacco smoking. So we don't have any idea about these non-smoking population of COPD. So we need to use these answers to these questions to adopt health policy measures and reduce the burden of non-smoking COPD. Finally, I would like to link my final comment to my first slide that we have to get over the health disparities in health and health disparities in respiratory disease in order to overcome the COPD health burden. I thank you for your attention, and I would like to welcome you to visit our website, Turkish Thoracic Society website. You can find many good material in English there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.